Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
But when it all, falls down, I'm telling you,
y'all can't handle the truth.
I'm telling you,
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Salvation is the topic. In today's Christian world, we have a lot of people claiming to be already saved. We also have some influential pastors claiming to be locked into salvation, or should we say, have insurance through Christ. We are going to examine the scriptures to see whether these things are so, according to the Word of God, which is the Bible. At the conclusion of this show, we hope to provide our listening audience a clear understanding of what is really mean to be saved and what you must do in order to obtain salvation according to the scriptures.
Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to play this this clip first from Creflo Dollar.
I don't know what it is with our with the church. When you have a wreck, you expect for God to forgive you and everybody else. Don't let the preacher have a wreck now. Then you become self-righteous and you become judgmental. And you're going to leave the preacher for his wreck when you don't have more wrecks. That preacher's still anointed to do what he was called to do. He just had a wreck. The blood will take care of his issue just like it'll take care of yours. And I just can't believe that people would leave their preacher because he had a wreck instead of praying for him. Man, I pray I don't ever have a wreck that you leave me, because I'm going to get up in your face today. I'll forget you then. I tell you about yourself. I mean, boy, that pastor, he's loved him and he's taken care of him and he's given to him and he's done that and he's did this and that. Okay, so he had a wreck. You had some wrecks? I'm thinking, man, the mercy God showed on you, but you couldn't show it to the preacher? And then the gossip that's in the body of Christ over a preacher that had a wreck? He had a wreck. Here's the good news. He got insurance. Oh, you clap your hands now. Let me have a wreck. You clap your hand. I want to see how many of y'all Negroes don't still be here. Okay, all right. How many of y'all precious saints of God? See, we love to be religious. But some of the same people that are sitting here clapping their hands, hoping that I have a wreck, just so they can say, I told y'all. See there? He wasn't that perfect. I ain't never told you I was perfect. You ought to know that. Now, there's certain things that I've grown from and should never do. But if I have a wreck, I'm still going to go to heaven. Now, you might mess some stuff up based on how you treat me. See, the preacher in the city here, he's still going to go to heaven. He's cleansed. He's all right. And if you from that church that you know I'm talking about, you trying to join here, I don't want you to join here. You need to go and join where you're supposed to be. I don't want you here. That is my friend. That is my brother in the Lord. And if you came from there, you get on back over there where you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to be doing. Because he got insurance. And Jesus paid the premium. Hey! His insurance is paid out. He's still going to heaven. Still going to be anointed to do what he called to do. And if you don't send him to seek God, or send somebody else to take your place, and then look at how you handle it. That's the hypocrisy of the whole thing. Like you was flawless. That man took them people, raised them up, taught them how to tie their tennis shoe, all that kind of stuff. I'm talking, who do we think we are? So that's when it's tested. It's not tested when you're sitting in the seat and everything okay and you, oh, that's, oh yes, praise the Lord. Oh yes, hallelujah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's live this. Let's live it. Forgive the thing that you said you could never forgive. Let it go. Forgive the relative you said, I ain't never going to speak to them. You ain't doing them a hurting yourself. And listen, I know it was painful. I'm not trying to take the pain out of it or the disappointment and all that. But at the end of it, you got to act like Jesus. Ain't nobody put you on the cross and beat you with a cat of nine tails, eh? Oh, my gosh. Imagine how he felt. Peter, you know him? I don't know him.
All right. So the point I really want to take out of this clip of Creflo, I don't really want to deal with the Eddie Long story too tough, but there's a couple points that we just want to bring out to show you that because this man Creflo Dollar is out of his darn mind. First of all, today's topic is called, Is Your Pastor Guaranteed Salvation? We're the brothers from the Body of Christ Church, okay? And my name is Dawa Yud. I'll be your host with the brother Hashi Yud.
Shalom, everybody. Most High Christ bless you.
All right. Now, the point is with this clip with Creflo, I want to deal with the point of, is your pastor guaranteed salvation? Because as Creflo said, you know, after Eddie Long, you know, he's claiming Eddie Long had a wreck by dealing with these young boys. Now, with saying that, he said he has insurance through Christ, and he's going to make it to the kingdom. He also put himself in that same category and said that he was going to make it into the kingdom, okay? So that's why we're going to this topic today. We really want to deal with those points right there. And according to the scriptures, we're going to see if this pastor is telling the truth according to Jesus Christ, all right? The first scripture I want to go into is Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 76.
Luke chapter 1, verse 76.
Hold that thought for a minute. Wait a minute. There's also another point I want to add to that before we continue. Because you ask yourself, there's a lot of people out there saying, well, you know, what's this guy do with my salvation? You know what I mean? Is my pastor guaranteed salvation? What does this guy do with my salvation? Well, a lot of people out there, you listeners out there that follow Creflo Dollar or other pastors like himself, that say these things, and if you read the scriptures and you find in the scriptures that the things and the words that are coming out their mouth isn't backed up by the word of God, it affects you a lot because you're following a man that claimed to be of Christ, and if his actions and his words don't add up to what the word of God is saying, then you got to ask yourself, do I belong in this church? You see? Because it's very important because you can start following a man and end up, like the scriptures say, the blind shall lead the blind right into a ditch, you know? So with saying that, let's go to Luke chapter 1 and start at verse 76.
Luke 1, 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way.
Stop there. This child is referring to is John the Baptist. All right, read on.
To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins.
Okay, so this is John the Baptist is saying here that he's preparing the way for the Lord, all right, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So that's the key point we want to deal with, because today we're going to give you the definition of what it is, okay, where it says here to give knowledge of salvation. You want to add to that now?
No.
All right. So right here it says to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of sins. Read on.
Verse 78.
Mm-hmm.
To the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us.
Tender mercy. Did you say that? Tender mercy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'll read 78 again.
Yeah.
To the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
All right, stop there. I want to deal with verse 76, where it says, "And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." I want to go to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. So this is Matthew chapter 3, we're going to start at verse 1.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea.
So what was he preaching, brother?
And saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
So this is the thing that he was doing. He was preparing the way for the Lord, was he not?
Yeah.
Exactly. So in preparing to make that preparation, the things that he had to teach was repentance.
Exactly.
All right? Because John the Baptist, basically what it's really saying, because we're not going to go into the whole baptism thing today, but he was baptizing with water. But Christ was coming to baptize you with water and blood that was in his body to cleanse you for the error of your ways. So he was preparing that. It was symbolic. That water was symbolic to the true water, which was Christ. So read out one more time. Read Matthew 3 and 1.
In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand."
All right, so we understand that repent ye for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because you have to repent and turn away from your sins. We went through this last week about repentance, the Holy Spirit. Repentance, baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, in that order, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in order for you to actually repent, you had to go through that cleansing process. You had to repent, but then you had to be cleansed through that baptism, meaning through Christ. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see? So this is the thing that we got to understand. That's how we're going to enter and receive that salvation, through those steps that we went through last week. Let's go back to Luke now. Read chapter 1 and verse 76 one more time, all the way down.
"And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins."
So what was the knowledge, brother?
Well, that you have to repent, because if you don't repent, there's going to be no remission of your sins.
Exactly.
You know, we kind of touched that last week, too. I'm going to read a scripture on that. Matter of fact, before I hit that scripture, I'm going to read down to 79, and you're going to see that it's going to talk about the same thing. I'm going to read 77 to 79. It says, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Exactly.
So when it talks about to give light to them that sit in the shadows of death, if we can get a clear understanding of that, we read the scripture last week in Acts 26. I'm going to read it again, Acts 26, verse 18, because it talks about that same thing again, where it talks about by the remission of their sins, and it talks about the light and the darkness.
I'll read it. This is Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light.
See? That's what we read in 78. It says in verse 79, Luke 1:79 says, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadows of death.
Exactly.
Right? Read that again.
This is Acts 26 and verse 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God.
So that darkness is talking about the powers of Satan. Because when you're in darkness, like the scriptures say, you know not what you stumble at.
Yeah, let me get that scripture real quick.
All
before
right.
we move on. This is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19, and I'm going to read it. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble.
Yeah, because they have no knowledge of the light, which is the word of God. They don't know the knowledge of sins, and really is dealing with Christ, because Christ is the light. He's the true example that we have to follow. We have to put our mindset, turn our minds to the minds of Christ.
So wickedness, where it says darkness is as wickedness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or wickedness is as darkness. So the point is, so if you was committing fornication or if you was out there, you know what I mean, robbing, killing, stealing, slandering your brothers and your sisters and doing such things, you was in darkness.
Exactly.
All right? It says the way of the wicked is as darkness. So that's what you're walking in, darkness. Now, the light had came, which is Christ. So he's teaching you salvation by teaching you to repent from the error of your ways.
Exactly, because that's what the scripture goes into in the book of Acts. So when it talks about turning you from the powers of Satan to the powers of God, it's talking about you repenting, you making a conversion from darkness or wickedness
mm-hmm.
or the power of Satan, whichever word you want to use,
mm-hmm.
into the light, into righteousness, into Christ.
Exactly.
So there's a conversion coming here. So when it talks about the knowledge of salvation, the knowledge of salvation ain't just words you throwing out of your mouth.
Nah, not at all.
The knowledge of salvation is you knowing what you have to do in order to obtain that promise. You know, you getting that information of what you have to do to obtain that promise that was given to us.
Let's finish reading this out then. Acts 26 and 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
That they may receive forgiveness of sin. That's the same thing we read in Luke 1:77. I'm going to read it again to make sure everybody's getting an understanding of this. Luke 1:77. To give them knowledge of salvation, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying the same thing, because remission means the forgiveness of their sins. So in order for your sins to be forgiven, you have to turn from the powers of darkness unto light, which is what Acts 26 and 18 say. And I'm going to read that one more time, because I want everybody to get an understanding of that. Acts 26 and 18 says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Because if you don't do that, you can't receive forgiveness of sin if you're still in darkness.
Mm-mm.
You can't receive that salvation.
Mm-mm. But what do you mean? Can I just say I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I'm straight and I can have salvation?
Not according to the scriptures.
Not according to what we just read and just explained.
Because you say by you just saying that, does that turn you from the power of darkness unto God? Are you still doing works of darkness?
Exactly.
It's easy for you to say that and still do works of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the scriptures say, he that nameth the name of the Lord, let him do what?
Depart from iniquity. And we're going to prove that, like, we're going to go into the Old Testament, and we're going to show you a couple of examples, and then we're going to speed it up to the New Testament, and we're going to bring it home, you know? You want to bring out something else?
No, that's it.
All right, let's go to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, all right? And we're gonna read chapter 3. It's dealing with the topic at hand, showing the world, showing those out there that's following certain pastors like Creflo, okay? And we're gonna see what the scriptures say about the comments he made about how he was bought with a premium. Eddie Long was bought with a premium. Okay, we're gonna see according to the scriptures, we're gonna deal with this. So this is Numbers chapter 3, start at verse 1.
These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that the Lord spake unto Moses in the Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron. Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar,
mm-hmm.
and Athamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office.
So, okay, so now we're just making this point that it's talking about Aaron and his sons and the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to be ministers in the priest's office. So they were to be anointed in those times. There was an oil, a holy oil that was put on these brothers, put on these priests to be holy, to be cleansed, to be holy before they went into the Father and went to the temple to do service for the Father.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they had to be anointed. So we understand that in that time it was a hands-on process with oil to make you holy and cleanse you to serve in the priest's office. Mm-hmm. This is what we're reading right now. So these men were appointed to teach and do the service of God. All right? Give me Exodus. Actually, I'll read it. You can hold that. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 30. Before we move on, chapter 30, and I'm going to start at verse 29. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. All right? So it's basically saying what I just said, you know. So it was a process that they had to go through to sit in that office of being a priest. So they had to be anointed. They had to be cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they became holy. Most holy is what the scriptures say. All right. So I just want to keep your mind on that. So these were the men of God at that time. Okay. Now, let's go back to Numbers 3. All right. And read verse 3 and 4.
Numbers 3 and 3.
Yep.
These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office.
Okay.
And Nadab and Abihu died before the Lord when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father.
Well, hold up, though. But I'm confused here. But these men were anointed. These men were most holy. They were ministering in the priest's office. But according to the scripture, were they guaranteed salvation in the act that they committed?
No.
All right. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10 real quick. I hope you guys are following us. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. And let's read verse 1. It's going to explain it a little bit clearer on what the Lord did to these brothers. Okay? So this is Leviticus chapter 10, and we're going to start at verse 1.
And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not.
All right. So the whole key point is, he gave them a commandment and told them, don't do this strange thing to me in the priest's office in my temple. Ain't that what we just read?
Yeah.
Okay, but they did the opposite. They did what they wanted to do anyway, right?
In other words, they went against his commandment.
Exactly. They went against his laws, his statutes, his commandments. Read verse 2.
And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Now check that out. Because they did not do which the Lord commanded. But these men were anointed. These men were most holy. These men sat in the priest's office and did the service of the Most High God.
Yeah. And the heavy point is that, like, right now, if they were a priest right now,
mm-hmm.
and they were to do something contrary to God's commandments right now,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't have died right now. Because mm-hmm. in Christ,
they have mercy.
They have an opportunity
mm-hmm.
to repent.
That's right.
And to get it right. So a lot of priests right now are doing things
yep.
contrary to the commandments of God, and they're not dying. But does that mean that they're not going to die?
Does that mean judgment ain't coming? We're going to continue, though. We're going to continue. Read, matter of fact, read verse 2 one more time, though. I like the way verse 2 is.
10 and 2, Leviticus
yeah.
10 and 2.
Yeah.
And they went out. Fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Keep going.
Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace.
Yeah, because we're supposed to be sanctified. You know, we're supposed to be cleansed. Yeah, there was a physical cleansing with the oil back then that was anointed. Mm-hmm. But we're going to explain a little bit more when we go to the New Testament. What does the word anointed mean then when we go to the New Testament when Christ came?
And we're supposed to glorify God.
Exactly. We're still supposed to be sanctified through that anointing. When we're in that priest's office, right? All right. Let's go to 1 Samuel. We're going to add to it a little bit more just in case people don't really get it yet. We want to add to it according to the scriptures. All right? 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 1.
First Samuel chapter 1
and read verse 3. Like I got to say this. That's funny. Like the brother Kakuma Bar said, I got to say it. Did these brothers just have a wreck? Like Creflo said, if Creflo was around during that time, he would have said, they just had a wreck. No, according to the scriptures, they got wrecked because the Most High devoured them with fire because they ain't listened to the commandments of the Most High God. Now let's read on and continue adding to this salvation and what it's talking about these pastors out here. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 3.
And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, mm-hmm. The priests of the Lord were there.
All right, so these men were priests of the Lord. All right, Eli was the high priest, and these are his sons. They were priests too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they come from that same line of Aaron, of the Levites, right? So it says, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. All right, just wanted to make it clear that these men were the priests of the Lord. That's what I want to get out of that. These men were the priests of the Lord. So stay in 1 Samuel, go to chapter 2, and read verse 12.
1 Samuel 2 and 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Baal. They knew not the Lord.
But hold up. They were the priests of the Most High God, though, right?
Yeah.
We just read it. But what took place? What happened? Let's read on.
And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servants came while the flesh was in seething with a fresh hook,
flesh hook mm-hmm.
or three teeth in his hands,
mm-hmm.
and he struck it into the pan
mm-hmm.
or kidla or cauldron or pot, all that the flesh hook. Brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came hither. Also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to the roast for the priest. For he will not have sided flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desired. Then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force.
So these men were taking the sacrifices of the people that want to sacrifice to God for either peace offerings or forgiveness of sins. These men, these priests, were taking their sacrifices, man. Mm. Period. Just taking them, strong-arming their sacrifices, right? Read on, verse 17.
Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For men abhor the offering of the Lord.
And why do they abhor the offering of the Lord, brother?
Because these men was taking it. They were taking it for themselves. They go to offer a sacrifice unto the Most High, and they would take it for themselves to feast on.
Mm-hmm. So understand, even in today's time, what about the offerings that are taking place in the churches today? they're taking it for themselves too, and they live in large.
Exactly.
So a lot of people are feeling just like this scripture. A lot of people, but we understand that these churches that are set up today aren't the real churches that the Most High set up. These men are false prophets. These men are just like these men of these priests. They're sons of Baal. The same thing. You see? But what we're trying to get people to see is understand that we're laying the foundation on certain men that were priests that were living wickedly in the priest's office. Jump down to verse 22 real quick.
Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
So what's that saying, brother?
They were having sex with women. They were fornicators. Basically, they were committing fornication.
And these were priests of the Lord that was doing this.
Exactly.
Priests of the Lord that was committing this act.
So did they just have a wreck?
Did they just have a wreck? Did they just slip and trip and just started committing fornication with all these women?
Was the Lord all right with that?
No, they. According to the scriptures, let's read on. Reverse. Actually, you know what? Let me bring out this point before we go back there.
I guess they're still going to get salvation because they're the priests. They're anointed.
Yeah. According to them, they're anointed, right? Well, let's go to. We're going to go back to that, so hold that. We're going to go to the book of Jeremiah and explain it a little bit more in Jeremiah. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 23, and I want to start at verse 13.
Jeremiah 23:13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy in Baal and cause my people Israel to err.
So where it's referring to Samaria is referring to the northern kingdom of Israel, all right? That was their land. So if people that don't understand the history of Israel, how it was split in two, all right, this Samaria was referring to Israel's, the northern kingdom. Read on.
I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem in horrible things.
So the Jerusalem is referring to the tribe of Judah, yeah, the southern kingdom, all right, which was split. But go ahead.
They commit adultery and walk in lies.
What? Read that again.
They commit adultery and walk in lies.
Okay, so it's right back to what we just read, what we read in Samuel where it talked about Eli's sons.
Mm-hmm.
They were committing adultery in the church, so sleeping with all the women. But read on.
They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none do return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah.
Now, the part I want to deal with here is, yeah, they commit adultery and walk in lies, but I just want to add to it that some of these prophets were doing, some of these priests that was in this, you know, doing the will of the Most High, supposed to be teaching the people salvation, teaching the people how to repent and turn back. But instead, what were they doing?
They were allowing them to continue in sin.
They were allowing them, just like today's time in these churches today. What's the difference? What is the difference? So when we read here where it says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. How many times do we hear in these churches that they walk in lies? As many examples that we could give,
yeah,
that they walk in lies. Thanksgiving, Christmas, all these pagan holidays are lies. You know, Easter is a lie. Christmas, Thanksgiving is a lie. They're all pagan traditions. Sunday worship is a lie. It's a pagan tradition. These are all lies. There ain't supposed to be no lie in the truth.
Yeah, they walk in lies.
They walk in lies. They're not teaching the people to turn back, meaning if you're a homosexual, just come as you are. God still loves you anyway. And then the pastors like the T.D. Jakes, because we hear them all the time, the T.D. Jakes and the Joe Osteen and them, what do they say all the time? They don't want to tell them to repent and that they can't make it to the kingdom. They beat around the bush. They want to be politically correct because they don't want to lose their congregation or the offerings and money that's coming in. So what do they say? I don't want to cast a stone. Yeah, I don't want to cast a stone at them because we all have sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. This is what they use and hide behind. They don't want to cast the first stone because they even commit sin. No. The scriptures say, teach them. Teach them that they're walking in darkness so they can return to the light. That's the whole point of sitting in that priest's office,
yeah,
to teach the people to come back to the Most High God. Like John the Baptist preparing the way of Christ and his coming. That's what he did then. And we're preparing for Christ in his second coming.
Because those that don't want to repent, they're going to be damned too. They're going to receive damnation.
This is Jeremiah 23 and 14 again. It says, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers that none do return from his wickedness. So they're not teaching repentance to tell people to stop committing fornication, stop committing homosexuality acts, you know, stop worshiping pagan traditions. They're not teaching that. They're doing the contrary of that. You have a point you want to bring up?
Yeah, this is a quick scripture. This is Isaiah 49 and 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, now says the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. Now, it's going to tell you the purpose of a servant
okay.
of God
mm-hmm.
or a prophet or a teacher, a servant of God. 49 and 5 again. And now says the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Jacob, it means Israel. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorified in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning whether they hear or not, he's going to still get his reward. But the point is that the purpose of a prophet is to bring his people back to him.
Exactly.
And the only way you bring them back to him is by them teaching them to repent, mm-hmm. teaching them to make a conversion from their wicked ways into a righteousness. Because as long as you are in sin, there's going to be a breach between you and God. God is not dealing with sinners.
Exactly.
So in order to take away that breach or that separation between you and God, you have to change your ways. You have to repent from evilness. And that's the purpose of a prophet, to teach people to turn from wickedness. If you're not teaching people to turn from sins, then you're a false prophet.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line.
Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and then we're going to go to a promo. I just want to finish this out in 1 Samuel chapter 2.
All right, 1 Samuel 2, what we look up again?
Read verse 22 all the way down to 25.
1 Samuel 2 and 22. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
We'll stop there for a minute, though. There's more points, because in today's churches, we hear this all the time. We talk about this all the time, how a lot of pastors in these churches are committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place. Major freaking so-called pastors or preachers, they commit adulterous practices, man. That's what they do. Either sleeping with strippers or either what? Remember we talked about that man Farley that had committed adultery in his church with another reverend. And then stabbed her in the face.
Yeah.
That pastor in New Jersey, I was telling you. And then we heard about, you know, the late Zachary Timms or whatever, about him admitting that he had a relationship with a stripper for about a year or two. So these are pastors. What about what's his name? Donald McKirkland? Is that his name? I forgot his name. But anyway, that pastor too, one of those pastors out there committed homosexual acts too, and he went out there and repented in front of the church and was talking about repentance. There's many pastors out here committing these acts of adultery. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is this, that it's happening today, brothers and sisters, that men and women in these churches are committing adultery. It's happening. So it's just not in the Old Testament that this was taking place. It's taking place right in front of us today in these churches. And what about our local church? Our local churches on every corner out here? We're hearing about it all the time, that these men are teaching the word and enticing women like they somewhat. And they end up falling for these women and having sex with these women in the congregation. But read verse 23.
1 Samuel 2, 23. And he said unto them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people.
Mm-hmm.
Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress.
Now check that out. So now we have these priests that sit in this office. A lot of people are looking up to these men. And if they see their priest or their pastor committing such acts, what are they going to think, brother?
It's okay.
It's okay. I can continue doing the same thing you're doing. I don't have to repent.
Yeah, because you're my leader.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's important to know, you know what I'm saying, is my pastor guaranteed salvation? Because in his eyes, we just read in Creflo Dollar's eyes, he's guaranteed, him and Eddie Long.
He's locked in.
He's locked in. But what are they teaching? They're not even teaching repentance. They teach a prosperity doctrine. They teaching Sunday worship. They teaching it's okay to have a wreck and fall and trip and mess with these little boys. Right? That's what they teaching. Read on, verse 25.
If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them.
Yeah, because the acts they were committing was worthy of their death.
Yeah, the Lord had them already marked. He had a check mark by their name.
And we understand the acts they were committing, though. What was the judgment for the act of fornication, man? Yeah. It was death. That was the judgment for that act. Just like it's no different now, like you said, they're under the grace and mercy now to get their act together. But if they don't get their act together, death is at their door.
Yeah, death is coming.
Yeah. But when you're a priest of the Most High, we're going to go into that in the New Testament, though. We're going to go into that in the New Testament. Let's move on. Yeah, we're going to get to it.
Okay.
Read verse 29. Actually, you know what? Give me 1 second. Yeah, read verse 29 and 30. We'll go
right.
To a promo.
1 Samuel 2 and 29.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, and at my offerings, which I have commanded in my habitation.
Mm-hmm.
And honestness, my son, above me, and honest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people.
Yeah, because taking those sacrifices,
make yourself fat.
Yeah, they making a lot of money off of it. Because think about the things that they're doing with that sacrifice. The animals, the lambs, the bullocks, you know what I'm saying? It's just like today's supermarket. They cut up the meat, they sell the meat, you make money. All right, what about the furs and stuff on the animal? You can make leather. You make leather shoes. You make leather jackets. The women today with the coach bags, whatever. You can make things or products and clothes out of these animals, man. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of money in this. It's a profit. It's a business. These dudes was making money in the house of God. So a lot of people didn't want to, what, come to the house of God no more because they felt like people were corrupting it and it wasn't benefiting them none.
Well, so they knew there were corrupt men there.
Exactly. So read verse 30.
Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honored me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed.
Yeah, so check that out. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and in the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. So they were going to receive that forever, right? But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. What does that mean? Jump down to verse 34.
And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon thy two sons,
Hophni
and Phinehas.
Mm-hmm.
In one day they shall die, both of them.
So the Most High said they're going to die. These are the priests of the Lord. But because of the acts that they were committing, death was at their door.
Mm-hmm.
So what? They were priests. So what? They served the Most High in the temple of God. They started what? Doing the things that the Lord did not command. You can't commit adultery in the house of God. You cannot commit fornication in the house of God and be bought with a premium. You cannot perform those acts and claim to be in the house of God. Read verse 35, and we go to a promo.
And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. And he shall walk before my anointed forever.
Yeah, because the Most High don't need you.
Yeah.
He could raise up somebody else to go up in that seat and teach the will of God the proper way, the right way, the knowledge of salvation according to the scriptures. With that, we're going to take a promo break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Body of Christ Church inviting you to listen to our new program, From Darkness to Light, where we examine and reprove spiritual wickedness in today's world. The show airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So remember the words written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
Body of Christ Church invites you to listen to all our programs on Blog Talk Radio. These programs are meant to edify the listener regarding repentance and good works according to the Holy Scriptures. The weekly program schedule is Sunday at 2 p.m., Tuesday at 8 p.m., Wednesday at 7 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., and Saturday at 9 a.m., all Eastern Standard Time. Our Spanish broadcast is at 11:30 a.m., Eastern Standard Time each Saturday at blogtalkradio.com/ICDC. Please accept our invitation to call in to our show at 646-716-7749. Your comments or questions are eagerly encouraged, whether they agree or disagree with the viewpoints expressed by those involved in the program. Again, call in now. Please dial 646-716-7749.
If you would like to contact us or learn more about the Body of Christ Church, you may do so by calling, emailing, or by visiting our website. Our telephone number is 1-877-871-1712. Our email address is bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Ureach is the letter U followed by the word reach. So that's bodyofchrist@ureach.com. Our website, thedocc.com, contains our telephone number and email address, as well as audio and video biblical lessons and other information geared toward edification in repentance and good works. Again, our website address is thedocc.com, so please feel free to connect with us today.
Thank you for returning back. Those that's just tuning in, today's topic is your pastor guaranteed salvation? We're the brothers from the Body of Christ Church, and we're dealing with proving that your pastor has to keep the works of the Most High. He has to teach the will of the Most High, teach repentance, which is the knowledge of salvation. He also has to not just teach it, but apply it to his life in order to what? Obtain salvation. So let's go. We're going to continue proving this by going to the book of Luke. Oh, no, excuse me. Book of Acts. I'm sorry. And we're going to read chapter 1. Start at verse 16.
Men and brethren, this scripture must need have been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, who was guided to them that took Christ. Who was guide to them that took Christ. For he was numbered with us and has ordained part of this ministry.
Obtained part of this ministry. So Judas Iscariot also had obtained part of the ministry. This is what we're reading here. Yes, that's right. Judas that betrayed Jesus Christ. We're reading in verse 17. For he was numbered with us, meaning what? Meaning the apostles, right? Mm-hmm. And had obtained part of this ministry. Read on.
Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out.
Yeah, gushed out.
And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue, a Saladama,
mm-hmm.
that is to say, the field of blood.
Read on.
But it is written in the book of the song of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
Now check that out. So we're looking at, we got to look at this thing and understand that, that Judas, he was part of this ministry, right? This is what he was part of. He did the acts and did the things that the other apostles did. Matter of fact, let's get that real quick, then we'll go back to that. Hold that, and we're going to go back to that.
There's more of it right here, too.
Yeah, yeah, we're gonna read it. But go to Matthew's. We're going to go back to it. Go to Matthew's chapter 10. I just want to pull out a couple things in Matthew's chapter 10 to show you, to paint a picture of some of the things Judas also did with the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Read on. Matthew's 10 and 1.
Matthew's 10 and 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease.
So Christ gave them power, okay, to go against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's an incredible task, an incredible power to receive.
Yeah.
All right? Read on.
Now the names of the twelve apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and
Lebbeus,
mm-hmm. whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him.
All right. So the point I wanted here is just to prove you that Judas Iscariot was also part of the brother that received the spirit. All right, the spirit to against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal the sick and all manner of diseases. He also had the power to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just the other apostles, the other 11, he also had power to do these things too. He was part of the ministry, as we just read in Acts 1. We're just going to read verse 8, and we're going to stop there, and we go back to Acts. Read verse 8.
Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give.
So, he healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers. That's a lot of power. You know, to raise the dead, are you serious? Judas had power to raise the dead. All right, to cast out devils. This is a hard thing to do. So he had power to do these things, but yet he betrayed Christ. But yet the point I'm making is he still sat among Christ and was a follower at the time and was part of
the gifts,
part of the church, part of the ministry. This is what he was a part of. So that's the point we're still sticking with in the new, because a lot of people thinking that we went to the Old Testament that we couldn't find anything in the new to prove that even when Christ came on the scene, what happened to those that still didn't do the will of the Most High God through Christ? You see?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to Acts chapter 1 and read verse 20 one more time.
Verse 20?
Mm-hmm.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. Let his bishopric let another take.
Yeah, like we said before, the bishopric let another take, because we understand that, like I said earlier, God don't need you. God could remove you like he did Saul and set up. Saul was a king. He removed Saul from being king and set up King David. Because what did Saul do, brother?
Saul didn't obey his voice.
He didn't obey his voice, his commandments. So, all right, I'm going to remove you. You're not meat for the master's use. And I'm going to put someone there that is more what?
Obedient. That's going to listen.
Exactly. And he's going to follow through with the words of the Most High. I'm going to put him there. So that's the same thing that happened with Judas. Right? He's been removed. And his removal, come on, was death. He ended up killing himself. Right?
Yeah, he was greedy too. Because the Most High said, freely you receive, freely give. And when you look at these pastors, that's another thing. They're not doing nothing for free.
They're not doing nothing for free. And this is the gift that Christ gave them to perform all these acts. And he told him it was free. right? Because it wasn't theirs in the first place. It was given to them free. They didn't have to pay for nothing to receive that gift. It was free to them. So when you teach this word and you're healing people, it's supposed to be free. Am I supposed to set up DVDs and CDs and sell? Should I write books and sell? Should I make the House of God merchandise and sell? It's free. Jump down to verse Acts chapter 1. Now jump down to verse 23. Or you want to read more on 21 and read down? Or where do you want to read it? Yeah, start 23 and read all the way down to 26.
And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias.
Mm-hmm.
And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.
Yeah, because Judas fell, that transgression is that sin that he committed, betraying Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is the act he committed, so you know what? He fell, so out of these two brothers, who are we going to get to replace him? Read on.
And they gave forth their lot, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
So he became part of the 12 apostles.
Exactly.
So the Most High replaced him in his bishopric, right? Because we understand that there's many scriptures on. Matter of fact, we should just pull that out real quick. There's many scriptures on dealing with the Lord's seat. Let's go to being a bishop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's read verse 1. So this is 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, because in this office that you're sitting in, in the office of an overseer of a church, and you're calling yourself bishops or deacons, whatever you want to call yourself, priests, pastors, preachers, whatever, evangelists, the thing is, when you're sitting in these seats, you got to be blameless. You can't be doing the opposite of what the Most High is telling you to do and expect to still be a righteous man and to still say that you have salvation, and yet you're not even doing the will of the Most High God. So let's read 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1.
This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach.
So a bishop got to be blameless, right?
Yeah.
So that means the things that you're performing out here in this world, it shouldn't be nothing. Like, you shouldn't be known as a drug dealer. You shouldn't be known as a fornicator.
Definitely not.
You shouldn't be known as an adulterer. You shouldn't be known as messing with little boys. You shouldn't be known as a man, shouldn't be known as messing with another man or have a man for a husband.
Definitely not. Nothing against the commandments of God.
And a bishop shouldn't be what? A woman.
How are you going to guide the people, like we read, from darkness to light,
mm-hmm.
when you're still in darkness?
Mm-hmm. You're going to lead them into darkness.
Yeah.
But that's the only point I want to get out of that. You want to add something?
Yeah.
All right. Go to 2 Timothy real quick. I want to continue adding. I know we always killing that dead horse and we banging them upside the head, but I want to go to 2 Timothy real quick, and we're going to read chapter 2. It's giving you more different accounts in the Bible of some of these individuals that was committing such acts that was contrary to doctrine, but yet they were in the body of Christ, and yet they were partakers of the ministry, and yet they were so-called pastors or bishops or deacons, and they themselves wasn't guaranteed salvation until they what? Continue to walk in his word. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 2, start at verse 16.
But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as does a canker, and of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some.
All right, when you're dealing with this scripture here, we see that this brother Hymenaeus and Philetus, these men concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrew the faith of some. Because at this time, we understand that they felt as though that the kingdom was at hand now, that the end of the world as we know it was over, and the kingdom was about to be set up. This is what I see in that scripture, that these men was out here, this is what they was teaching, this is what they were pushing, right? That the end of the world was basically at hand, and the kingdom was going to be set up at that present time. So when the kingdom wasn't set up at that present time, and it never happened, so what's going to happen to some of the followers that they were teaching? They would lose faith. They would think that there is no God, there is no Christ.
There is no kingdom.
There is no kingdom. You're still waiting for the Messiah. You're still waiting for Christ. There is no Christ. You still, all the works you keeping, being with that one woman, or some of you men out there that don't even have a wife, but you sitting as Paul sit, right? By being by yourself and dealing with the scriptures and staying holy by yourself because you didn't need a woman. You did all that for nothing. You could have been partying and having fun. You withdrew yourself for Christmas. You withdrew yourself from selling drugs and being a stripper and doing all kind of drugs. You might as well just have fun. So now these people lost faith. What do you think they're going to end up doing? They're going to end up going right back into the world and doing things they ought not to do because they don't believe that there is a Christ. They don't believe that salvation is coming. They don't believe about the promises that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. They don't believe in that. But we got to hold on to our faith. We got to hold on to what the Word of God said about His coming and about His salvation. And we have to repent and turn back to the Lord. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. There's a point in there I want to add to it. 1 Timothy, because we're going to find out what happened to these men. All right? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and start at verse 18.
1 Timothy 1 and 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck.
Just had a wreck.
Good. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme.
So they were delivered unto Satan because of the blasphemes they were committing, the lies they were teaching, that the kingdom was going to be set up now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The things that they were teaching, we understand that was contrary to doctrine. This because Paul sent this letter out, warning us of men like this. Warning us of men that were out there teaching lies in God's name. So it's no different than that man that in 1 Corinthians 5 where it talked about how he was committing fornication with his father's wife. And Paul was saying how, what? That we were going to deliver him unto Satan for the acts that he was committing that was what? Fornication. The judgment of that is death. So we had to stop that. That was cancer. That was that canker that we talked about earlier, about that it was spreading. A little leaven leavened the whole lump. So we got to remove that out of the church so it doesn't spread. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So they delivered these men unto Satan, these same men. Because when judgment comes, they're going to have to answer to every word, all those blasphemous words that ever came out of their mouth. Just like Creflo himself, he got to answer to the words that he guaranteed that Eddie Long's going to receive salvation. That means you're sitting in the seat of Christ by making that statement. I want to pull out this scripture, and since I said that, I want to pull out this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to read verse 10.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10.
Yeah.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad.
Yeah, so as far as we see, according to this scripture, who is the judge of all men?
Christ.
All right. And it says that everyone that may receive the things that was done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So what is the good that Christ is going to judge?
Keeping of his word. Because the scripture says that, the laws are good.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans, the 7th chapter. So the good is the word of God. That's what we have to do.
So being a husband to one wife, being blameless, all right, walking in the commandments as far as teaching and following the feast days that was given to us, the Passover, the Unleavened Bread, the Day of Atonement, like all these days the Feast of Tabernacles was given to us, that's part of that ministry,
yeah.
Right? Not committing fornication, adultery, you see, not stealing from one another and killing one another and gangbanging on a corner of the streets. We're not doing these things.
Because good, a lot of people think good is according to their minds and what they feel good is. Because you have people that talk about, like, for example, we always use this example, but it's a good example,
mm-hmm.
homosexuality. They will say, well, you're loving. What's wrong with that? I'm loving somebody. I'm not hurting nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the good in your mind.
Exactly.
But the good is the good that the scripture is talking about isn't based on your own personal opinions, your own feelings, your emotions or ideas. The good is talking about what's found in the scriptures. The scriptures give us the scale on what good is and what bad is. Like Moses said, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil.
Yeah.
So the good is what the scriptures say good is. The bad is what the scriptures say bad is, not what your mind or your personal feelings say it is.
Exactly. So we're supposed to love one another like the scriptures say, but the only way we're going to love one another and perform good towards one another is applying the scriptures that we're reading.
Exactly, yep.
And this is the only way that when God is, when we're sitting in that judgment seat and we're being judged by the good, that's going to be the good. And the bad, we went into earlier about the darkness, which was going into wickedness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the things that we were committing that we're committing now in this body, because we're being judged right now. Every word that's coming out of our mouth, we're being judged. Every act that we're committing, we're being judged. So a lot of these Christian churches out here teach that you can keep just believing in Jesus Christ and you're going to receive that salvation. That's all you got to believe in. That's all you got to believe in. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We should have brought this point out earlier, but let's go to it now. Matthew chapter 7. We always use the scripture a lot in verse 21 because it goes with everything we're talking about today, because none of us is guaranteed salvation just because we look at these scriptures and the scriptures say that if we believe and confess with our mouth, you know, that the Lord, you know, is the Son of God, that we're forgiven for our sins, that we're going to have salvation, you know, we're going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just saying it with your mouth. There's something else that you have to apply in order to, so when you're saying it with your mouth, that is real. You see, you just can't go by words that's coming out of your mouth. You got to go by actions. So let's read. That's why the scriptures say a bishop must be blameless. Did it just mean blameless with his mouth? Let's read Matthew chapter 7, read verse 21.
Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
So that's saying out there that he is covered, you know, through the premium, through the insurance of Jesus Christ, right? How are we going to be covered and guaranteed salvation for anybody just because if we name the Lord Jesus Christ? We just can't be going through with words. We got to have some deeds behind it. Because the Most High said here, you can say Lord, Lord all you want. You can say Jesus Christ all you want.
Yeah, because not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, if you acknowledge in Christ as the Lord, that means you acknowledge him as the Savior. He's your Lord.
Exactly.
But yet, in this scripture, Christ just said that in verse 23, he says, and then will I confess unto them, I never knew you.
So you did say, Lord, Lord, but he's saying, I don't know you.
Exactly. Why he don't know you?
Mm-hmm.
The scripture's saying right here, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is iniquity?
Sin.
Iniquity is sin. So would messing with a boy be considered a sin?
Yes.
Would committing fornication or sleeping around with different women be considered a sin?
Yes.
Stealing, idolatry, worshiping idols, things that pertain to idols like Christmas, Thanksgiving, are these things considered sins?
Exactly, yes.
So it's not just saying, Lord, Lord. The scripture is making it clear here. And who's talking here, by the way? Who's saying this?
Christ.
Is he the one that's going to be judging us?
That's where we just came from, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10.
So it's quite obvious that somebody's lying. I know the scriptures are not lying, but somebody's lying.
What about this part in verse 22? I want to bring out this part I should have brought out earlier. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done wonderful works? So check this out. We went to Judas Iscariot earlier, right? Did he not cast out devils?
Yeah.
Did he not do wonderful works?
Yeah.
But we're reading right here. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have did wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
See, what I see is that, you know what, some people don't care what the Bible says. They don't care what the scriptures say, you know. They got their own minds made up that they're going to continue in sin and they're going to be justified. Because we read right here that Christ said, not everybody, we read that Christ said he's going to be doing the judging.
Exactly.
You read that in Corinthians. Now we're reading here that Christ says, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And people are going to still say everybody's going to enter.
Wow.
What part don't you understand? How simple can you be? You know, how simple can you be? Christ is telling you right here, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he comes and says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have done, in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. So Christ isn't talking about somebody that just believes and go to church.
He's talking about somebody that's an overseer of a church, man. Yeah,
somebody that's out there doing work.
That's right.
Somebody that's prophesying, out there teaching.
You got to have the Holy Spirit to be casting out devils, brother. So
in his name, in the Lord's name.
And we just went through all the scriptures earlier in the prophets, how these men were priests of the Most High. They was anointed. Then we went all the way up to Judas Iscariot, how he had the Holy Spirit upon him to do all these wonderful works. But these men committed sin. These men fell short. They're not making it to the kingdom. They're not making it to the kingdom. Check this out. Let's go to 2 Peter's, right? Actually, no, before we go to 2 Peter's, this is a beautiful scripture, too, because it's going to back up what we're saying, because we're going to read it in the old and we're going to read it in the new. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18 first. Let's read that first. Ezekiel chapter 18. All right, there's been a misconception out there in these churches. All right, misconception saying that you can just keep committing fornication and adultery. You can keep being a pedophile. You can keep murdering people, stealing from people, doing ill deals with people, right? Stealing their money, running scams. You can continue doing all these things, dealing with extortion. You can do all these things and then keep repenting. Go back and do them again and keep repenting. Go back and do it again and keep repenting. You never repented. You're just saying it with your mouth, but you're not showing proof, no action. So let's see what the Bible has to say about somebody that believes in that madness. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 18 and read verse 23.
Ezekiel 18:23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, said the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?
Yeah, come on, won't you repent? I don't want you to die, because judgment, when the judgment seat comes, there's going to be those on his left that's going to die, and then those on the right that's going to make it into salvation.
Yeah, because in order to live, according to the scripture, in order to live, you must what? Return from your wicked ways.
You must return. You must stop committing sin.
And don't let no liars lie to you and tell you you're going to commit sins and be all right, because there's a lot of liars out there.
Oh, yeah.
You got to believe in what the Bible says. Don't listen to man.
Mm-hmm. So let's read on, verse 24.
Verse 24. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live?
That's a question. So if this dude was righteous, check this out. He wasn't committing no fornication, right? He wasn't murdering nobody. He was a good dude, according to the scriptures, meaning just and holy is what's good. The commandments of the laws is what's good,
mm-hmm.
right? So he didn't, he when brothers needed money, when needed food, he gave it to them. He provided. Mm-hmm. When the brothers was in prison, like the scripture said, he went to visit them. When he didn't have a coat, guess what? I gave him a coat and clothed him. He did the acts of the Most High, right? He did these things. But then, in verse 24, but when the righteous turn away from his righteousness, that means he's not committing those acts no more. When brothers in a time of need, he got the money, but he ain't giving it. He see a fine woman walk by, he got a wife at home, so what? I'm going to go lay with this woman. He turning from his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And committed iniquity, mean commit sin, and do according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Mm-hmm. So this is a question.
When he has a wreck, shall he live?
Yeah, that's true. When he has a wreck, shall he live? That's a great question. Let's read on and see what the scripture got to say about this. Read on.
All his righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned.
What?
All the righteousness that he has done shall not be mentioned.
This is what the scriptures say. We're reading out of the Holy Bible. Read on.
In his trespass or in his wreck
uh-huh.
that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he has sinned, in them shall he die. In his wreck he shall die.
That's right. According to the scriptures. This is according to the scripture.
The word of God.
Read on.
Yet he say, the way of the Lord is not equal.
That's not right. Because we got a lot of people out there that say, nah, I don't believe in that. My God wouldn't say nothing like that. Read on.
Hear now, O house of Israel. Is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?
Wait, hold up. Now he's throwing it back at you, as they say out in this world when we were kids. You're glue and I'm rubber. What you say bounce off of me and sticks to you. Yo, this is real funny because y'all don't get it, man. The Most High God is not playing. Your way is not right. His way is always right. His way is always right. You're the one that got to bow down to what the scriptures say. Read on, brother.
When a righteous man turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and die in them, for his iniquity that he has done, shall he die?
Read on.
Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness and he has commit...
That he has committed.
I'm going to read that again. Mm-hmm. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he has committed and does that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive.
Now, that's salvation, brother.
And that's repentance.
That's true repentance, because now this brother has life, eternal. He shall live. He's going to receive life. That's the definition of true salvation, because he turned from his wickedness, the error of his way. He stopped committing these lewd acts, started realizing that he was committing sin, and he turned to God.
Exactly.
And he repented, and now he believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he shed his blood for me because I was committing adultery all my life. I was sleeping with men all my life. You know, these women out here was out here opening up their legs to everybody all their life, sliding up and down a pole all their life. And they learn of God and realize what that, you know, that way of life was darkness, and I want light.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to return to God.
I'm going to follow the true light, which is Christ.
Exactly.
I'm going to follow his example.
Exactly.
And I'm going to leave the old man, or the old man is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn back to the old man, you left Christ. You left the light and went back into darkness.
Exactly.
So God's not dealing with you, man. You can't be dealing with darkness and think that the Most High is going to deal with you.
Read verse 28.
Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions that he has committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die.
He shall not die. He's going to live because he turned from that wickedness.
He repented.
He repented. This is the Old Testament saying it, but let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2 real quick.
And that's what Paul talked about when he said that he hoped to obtain, because he's saying, if I continue in this and I don't go off, then I hope to obtain.
Exactly.
2 Peter
2:20.
2:20.
Read that.
For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
So go right back to that salvation, right back to having the key to salvation, understand the remission of sins and what it means.
He turned from his wickedness.
He turned from his wickedness, what we just read in Ezekiel 18.
Yeah, he puts on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read that again.
Yep.
For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Yeah, so if they were committing all kind of, like, let's say an individual was smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was his demon. He smoked weed a lot. That's all he did was smoke weed, right?
Mm-hmm.
He repented, stopped smoking weed, right? He understood it was wrong. He turned to the Most High. He repented, stopped smoking. Now, 10 years later, he went back to smoking weed.
The dog returned back to his vomit.
We're going to continue reading that, but there's a point to be made.
Mm-hmm.
When you read this, the latter end is worse than him than the beginning, because now he smoked weed, but now he's doing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's doing heroin. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Now he caught AIDS by sharing needles. My point is this. You become worse off than what you were in the beginning when you return to the Lord. Let's read on. Read verse 21.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness.
It was better for you not to even have repented in the first place, man, and to learn the Most High God. Read on.
Then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them.
So these laws was given to you.
That's the way of righteousness.
Yes, it is.
The commandments is the way of righteousness. Is this the New Testament here?
This is what we're reading. And
somebody must have put that in there.
They put the word commandment there too. Where'd that come from?
Mm.
So we see in this scripture right here, it says, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. So that means you turned from the laws of God, went back to wickedness.
Went back to darkness.
Right back to it.
Back to Satan.
But let's read on, though.
But, verse 22,
uh-huh.
This is 2 Peter 2:22.
Yeah.
But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb.
Mm-hmm.
The dog is turned to his own vomit again.
Mm-hmm.
And the sower that was washed to her wallowing in the mire.
In the mire, yeah. So check this out. When you look at this, the dog is returned back to his vomit again, right?
Because mm-hmm.
It's using, we got to understand that first the dog eats his food, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he throws it up. Why is he going back to eat it again? That's nasty. Like, you're looking at that, like, yo, that's nasty.
Exactly.
That's how we're supposed to look at ourselves when we repent and go back. That's nasty.
Matter of fact, the scripture said we're supposed to hate
mm-hmm.
the person we was. We ain't supposed to, like, talk. We supposed to, the love, the things we used to love,
mm-hmm.
when we turn to Christ, we're supposed to look at that with hatred and disgust.
Exactly.
So how you going to go back to something that your mind has turned to hatred for? You're supposed to hate it. You're supposed to hate sin.
The latter part of the scripture says, in the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, right? The soul is referring to a female pig. Right? Now, this female pig that was washed, we understand that they roll all up in mud. They get all dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So then what's the use of you cleaning that pig, getting it all clean, it's all clean, washed, and then it goes right back out there again and just get all dirty all over again? Doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And that's what we're doing. You were dirty when you was committing sins. And you were cleansed through the blood of Christ. What does it mean to go out there and get dirty all over again? It's going to profit you nothing. It's going to profit you nothing. You want to pull out that scripture in about Paul, the one that you quoted?
Okay. All right. That was
Philippians.
Philippians, the third chapter.
Yeah, I'm going to read that for you. Philippians chapter 3, probably started like verse 11 maybe.
Yeah, the reason why we're reading this scripture here is because not only Clefo or Creepflow, whatever they call them, claim to be saved already, but you have a lot of so-called Christians out there claiming to be saved already.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of them have never even turned away from their wickedness.
Exactly.
They're still doing things which are contrary to the scriptures. But according to the scriptures, you can still... We constantly dealing with temptation, and we constantly have to be careful. We walk in a very thin line, and we constantly have to stay in Christ. We constantly have to follow that example that Christ gave us, because Christ gave us an example of a perfect man
mm-hmm.
walking in the statutes and commandments of the Most High and not sinning, because he showed us that we have to have our minds right. We have to get our minds right and to turn from sin. But Paul, which understood that, knew that, he wasn't locked into salvation.
Exactly.
And in this scripture right here, he explains that. This is Philippians 3 and...
11 maybe, or right to the point?
Let's start at 10.
All right. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death.
Yeah, because when you're in Christ, the old man is supposed to die. And the new man is supposed to live unto God. You're supposed to become that spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's the goal. That's the mark we're going for. All right? You know?
If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
So when he's talking about attaining to the resurrection, he's talking about being delivered. He's talking about obtaining to salvation.
Everlasting life.
Or what people could claim to be being saved.
Exactly.
All right? You know?
Not as though I had already attained... Either we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Yeah, Christ had apprehended us, meaning took us out of the world so we can become perfect.
Exactly.
Follow his examples.
Mm-hmm.
Not so we can continue in doing the things that we're doing and saying that we're saved.
Mm-mm.
So not though I had already apprehended, because we haven't obtained yet. We're still working at it. It's a constant battle.
So we can't say for sure we're saved already. We can't use that terminology, we saved, and that we've been bought with a premium and salvation is already given to us and handed to us.
Yeah.
We can't say that.
You might mess up if you talk about me.
Yeah.
What the heck does that mean? Mess up if you talk about me?
Well, what are you saying? I might not make it to the kingdom if I talk about you?
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like he meant to me.
I thought the scripture said that... The only sin that could be forgiven is blaspheme of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So he's the Holy Spirit now?
I guess so, because he's already saying that him and Eddie Long already received salvation. He must be Christ. Let's read on verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind.
I mean the old man.
And reaching forth into those things which are before.
Which is... Following the examples of Christ, following these scriptures, these commandments.
Exactly.
Following Christ, putting on Christ, and forgetting those things behind, which is the old man. You got to change. You got to repent. You can't go back to that.
I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
See, check that out. That's the mark.
Mm-hmm.
To follow the examples of Christ, our Lord and Savior. To repent and follow that example.
Because he never committed no sins. So we have to aim towards that mark. That's the mark we're supposed to be aiming towards.
Exactly.
Not committing sins. Not aiming towards the mark to say we hide him behind the blood of Christ to continue committing sins and say that he the only one could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're not aiming towards the mark. We're missing the mark.
And we can all, you know, that's why Ezekiel was a good scripture to bring out, because it shows you if that man returned back,
mm-hmm.
and commit that which is wrong, iniquity, he's not following Christ no more.
He's not.
So he surely can die.
That's right. So verse 15 says, let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you.
Mm.
And this is what we're trying to reveal to the people out there today, that if we don't aim towards that mark of the Most High God, salvation isn't going to be given to us. So with that,
That's it.
All praises, you know, to the Most High God through His Son Jesus Christ. We say shalom.
All right, thank you everybody for tuning in, and may the Most High Christ bless you. And that's about it. End of our show. Most High Christ bless. I'm